Hey, it's me, Richie T, and on the phone all the way from New York, it's Tony Award-winning director Michael Mayer. Thank you for joining me.
Happy to be here.
I have a fear that this interview may get really nerdy, so I'm going to need you to help me keep it way mainstream, okay? Because I'm a theater major, and so we may get way too deep. You know, we might be looking at subtext of what this interview is going to be, what our motivations are as we talk, but we should probably just keep it pretty basic. You were involved with American Idiot.
Yes.
And that's what we're talking about because that's coming here to Salt Lake. Tell people a little bit about that show.
American Idiot is a musical that is based on the record of the same name by Green Day that came out in 2004, 2005. And it's the story of these three young men who are in the suburbs of America. And in those years after 9/11, when people really were afraid and kind of stuck and didn't know what to do with their lives, and it's a look at how these three young men try to affect some change in their lives. So it's really a coming-of-age story. Each one of them goes through a different process, and they learn a whole lot about themselves, about the country, and about what they can and can't do as, you know, individuals. So it's a kind of a bittersweet story, but it's with this, you know, these unbelievable Green Day songs that sort of power you through this incredible journey.
You know, I had the opportunity to see it in Las Vegas. It was playing there about a month ago or so. And, you know, the thing that struck to me was you have this great music, like you say, of Green Day, and then this amazing direction and this just intense choreography. And then, although I kind of joked around about it, just these powerful, you know, political messages and anti-political messages and all this stuff. How was it that you ended up getting involved with it?
Well, it was my idea. I was listening to the album a lot when it first came out because I really loved it, and I was always a Green Day fan, and something clicked for me in this record that was different from everything that they'd done before, and it had a kind of urgency to it and a seriousness, and the music still had that, you know, that Green Day, that those great melodies and those great hooks and the great, you know, energy and driving rhythms. But this time it kind of reached for a kind of poetry that I really responded to. And in my mind, I imagined what that would be like if it were on stage. What kind of show might that be? And that got me really excited. And so I pursued them to see if they'd be open to my adapting it. And they were great. Billy Joe was amazing. He came to New York and met me and saw the show that I had on Broadway at the time, which was called Spring Awakening.
Which we'll talk about in a minute, hopefully.
Yeah. And from that point on, he was just remarkably open to letting me take the story that he had on the album and enhance it with new characters and to make it a really full-blooded physical experience.
How does that first experience with Billy Joe go? Because in my mind, I kind of have this idea of Green Day certainly being artists, but, you know, kind of that punk rock edge, and to have a guy from New York, you know, very respected gentleman, I don't want to downplay it at all, but be like, hey, you know what, I got this idea about a musical adaptation. I mean, was it pretty warm from the beginning?
The cool thing was that I think my timing ended up being right. It was really at a moment where they were just about to start going into recording their next record, which was 21st Century Breakdown. And it was a continuation of the themes and the sort of rock opera style that they were going for in American Idiot. So they were in that mode, and I think that they'd had such an incredible success with American Idiot and were so interested in seeing what different forms it could take, that I think that it felt like they were open, you know, and that he was. So I didn't I didn't have to do a big convincing job on him. He sort of got it. I think the fact that the show that I had just done was Spring Awakening, and it wasn't your typical, you know, Broadway musical. It was a different kind of thing altogether that had a contemporary score by Duncan Sheik and that dealt with themes that were as complicated and risque for a Broadway audience as, you know, the themes in American Idiot, that I think that gave him a certain level of comfort.
You know, you talk about a Spring Awakening, and I remember the first real experience that I had with it was in the Tony Awards that year. They do a number from it, and I just remember watching that and going, "Oh my gosh!" And
really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
And then to kind of follow.
Did you ever get to see it?
I didn't get to see it on Broadway. I did get to see it when it came here to Salt Lake, and
right.
then you know. Even more so to be able to take in that whole experience. But
was
also,
that the tour that came there, or was it a different production?
I believe it was the tour that came through Salt Lake.
Oh, cool, yeah. They were great. It was a great cast.
But to know how many people now came from that original production, too, cast-wise. Like, you know, I know... I'm saying Rachel.
Leah Michelle. And Jonathan Groff, and John Gallagher Jr., and... Phoebe Stroll and Skylar Astin, and they've all gone on to do great stuff. And in fact, I think it was an unbelievably talented group of young people, and it was most of their first. It was their first Broadway show, most of them, and for many of them also their first musical. So it was pretty. It was a pretty heady time for them. They've all done very, very well. Really proud of them.
Yeah, and I just look at that and to see what you did with it and to see the show itself and to see what they've gone, and it just, you know, it's just an amazing thing for me. Sorry, this is me now nerding out a little bit.
No, it's fine. Thank you.
Let's talk a little bit about what you're doing now. I know you were involved with Smash.
Yes, I directed the pilot, and I was a producing director for the first season.
And... What's that kind of experience like in difference to just producing the stage work?
Well, I think that the thing about I really loved working on it. I have to say it was really fun. And in particular, I loved working on the pilot because at that point anything was possible and we could be really, really dedicate ourselves to trying to be as authentic as we could with, you know, with the way theater works. You know, when you're doing a show, it can define its own terms very, very easily because, as I learned with Spring Awakening, you can break rules and the show can still function really well.
Mm-hmm.
With TV, I think there's a structural thing, especially with network TV, and I'm not saying it's a wrong thing, it's just the reality, which is that there are, you know, you have to have act breaks for commercials, there's a certain kind of scene that is required here and there, you have to, you know, after the commercials, you have to sort of remind the audience where they were in case they don't remember. So there's just more, you're taking an audience by the hand more on television and on network TV, and there's a structure that's imposed on you. So it's never going to be the same kind of organic experience that you can get when you're doing a show. And I think that's the biggest difference. You know, acting is acting and songwriting and writing, you know, all of the other elements that go into it are very, very similar.
I know that this is a super basic question, but I talk to people a lot because I'm a lover of live theater.
Uh-huh.
And that experience in the live theater is so much different than anything else. So I know it's a very, very basic question, but talk just for a second, because I love listening to you talk about this stuff, the importance of live theater.
Well, I was really, it was so funny. I spent the last week, I was hanging out with some friends in the south of France, and they're all business people, you know. And I was one of the very few artists who was in this group of people hanging out in this big house. And I was trying to explain to them that, and they're all in the, they all do like social media and internet stuff, and that's what their world is. And they were like, yeah, so what is the next step for theater? And I said, you know, that's actually the beautiful thing about theater. There is no next step. It is what it is. And they kept arguing with me and suggesting that possibly theater could change with technology and stuff. And I said, you know, the toys can change, and what, you know, the scenic effects that you can do and the interactiveness that can happen. But the only thing that theater is a live interaction between an audience and live performers. And that's what defines theater, and that's what makes theater a special and unique experience. No matter what happens over the next, you know, as the human race continues to, you know, develop and achieve all sorts of new forms, the theater will remain absolutely pure, because the minute there's not a live performer and a live audience member, it's actually not theater anymore. It's something else.
What's next for you? What can I look forward to geeking out on next?
Next thing is I'm doing an episode of a new TV show called Alpha House.
Okay, writing it down. Hold on. Alpha House. Got it.
Alpha House, yeah. It's a really great new half-hour comedy that's on Amazon. And it stars John Goodman. And I start that next week. I really like it.
Does it have musical elements, or is this
nope,
just...
No, no music. Okay. No, nope, it's just a half-hour comedy. And then my production of Rigoletto at the Metropolitan Opera that I opened last year comes back again this year. So I'll be rehearsing a new cast for that. And that opens in November. And then I do a revival on Broadway of off-Broadway musical Hedwig and the Angry Inch.
Oh, cool. That's a Utah
Neil
favorite.
Patrick Harris.
Oh, my gosh. Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
And that'll open in the spring on Broadway.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I'm very excited about that. It's a show I love, and Neil Patrick Harris is really, he's just one-of-a-kind performer. I can't wait to work with him.
And how do I get tickets to that now, as I know it will be impossible to get tickets?
You know what? Tickets are not on sale yet. You have to just keep your eyes open.
Oh.
It's a while still. We open, officially open at the end of April.
Oh,
so
wow.
You got time.
Oh, cool. Well,
so keep your eyes open. At some point in the fall, tickets will go on sale.
Man, I can't believe that. He's one of my favorites.
Yeah, he's amazing.
From Little Doogie up to now, for sure.
Yes, exactly.
Man, very cool. Michael, thank you so much and allowing me to geek out a little bit with you there on some of that
stuff. Absolutely.
Looking forward to it. You can see American Idiot, the Green Day musical, here in Salt Lake, December 3rd through the 5th. More information at x96.com if you want to get tickets, or at the Kingsbury Hall box office. Thank you again, Michael.
Sure thing. Thank you.
You bet.
Bye-bye.